Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do. That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill-building courses for you to choose from because the steps you choose to take today will help you love what you do in the future. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Pushkin.
One of the most interesting people in the crypto world right now is Sam Bankman-Fried. He's 30 years old, founded the crypto exchange FTX a few years back, and today he is worth around $20 billion, according to Forbes. And yet he still lives with roommates and drives a Toyota Corolla. And maybe the most interesting thing about Sam? He's actually not that into crypto. He didn't get into it because he thinks Bitcoin is going to replace the dollar or that we're on the brink of some revolution in the very meaning of money. He got into crypto so that he could make as much money as possible and then give almost all of it away. So when Sam thinks about really big problems, he doesn't necessarily think about how much the price of Bitcoin is falling or that a big stable coin fell apart a few weeks ago. He thinks about things like how to save humanity from extinction.
How many people will live if we play our cards right as a world, like in the 90th percentile outcome, how many people will live in the future? The answer is trillions, probably. Maybe hundreds of trillions.
Hundreds of trillions. I'm Jacob Goldstein, and this is What's Your Problem? The show where entrepreneurs and engineers talk about how they're going to change the world once they solve a few problems. My guest today is Sam Bankman-Fried. And his problem is this. How do you save the world? Before we get to the interview, I just want to take a minute here and set up this one big idea, this really useful intellectual framework that drives almost everything Sam does. It's called expected value.
I try to use it a lot because I think it sort of is the default correct way, in some senses, to calculate something. Like if you're just trying to do a generic calculation, I think it's usually the right thing to use.
You can understand expected value by understanding how Sam decided to start his company, the crypto exchange FTX. He was working as a trader, making millions of dollars. And when he thought about starting FTX, he knew there was a really good chance it might fail. It might ultimately be worth zero. But on the other hand, if it succeeded, it could be worth tens of billions of dollars. So here is a slightly oversimplified version of how you would use expected value in this case. Say Sam thought there was only a 1% chance that his exchange would be really successful, but that if it were really successful, it would make him $20 billion. The expected value of starting the exchange is the probability of it being successful, 1%, times the value if that success happens, $20 billion. Which comes out to $200 million. A lot. So in 2019, Sam started FTX. And Sam told me there is a really important lesson here about expected value.
One of the sort of takeaways that often ends up coming from really thinking hard and critically about expected values is that you should go for it way more than is generally understood.
Go big. You should really go really big, even if you probably will fail and wind up with zero.
That's absolutely right. And I think one of the intuitions for why that's the case, for why I think going big is often the right thing to do. Well, if you think about it, like, you know, you've got obviously a number of options available to you. Somewhere on the far right-hand side of distributions is like the best possible thing.
Meaning the really good outcomes.
That's right. The best possible thing you could imagine happening. And the best possible thing is probably really good. You know, it's probably orders of magnitude bigger than whatever you're sort of expecting to do.
Yeah, right. It's not a little better. It's wildly better. It's almost unimaginably better.
That's right. And if you're thinking about, well, if I found a company, how is it going to go? You know, you're probably thinking this might be a $1 million company, right? But the right-hand distribution, the right-hand tail of that is going to be a $1 billion company. And that's 1,000 times bigger. And so in order for it to be justified to choose that decision, if you really do care linearly about money, if you really do think that getting that marginal, you know, dollar is worth a lot, you know, even once you already have a lot of money, then it should lead you to think that you know, the best outcomes might be outcomes that have a 99% chance of failure, right? Because a 99% chance of failure and a 1% chance of that billion is still, that's 10 million and that's a lot. And so anytime that like there is some non-zero and non-negligible chance of a really, really good outcome are times when you're going to be incentivized more than seems natural, probably, to choose extreme outcomes.
I feel like that maps in different ways, both to your work you do for money and your altruism, which obviously are tied up, right? They both seem like very much rooted in those extreme outcomes. In the case of your work, it's an extremely large amount of money in a short amount of time. And in the case of the altruism, it's profoundly bad outcomes, like everybody dying, right? Like both of those are sort of the same in the kind of expected value universe. They're things we should probably think more about than seems intuitive if we're not using expected value.
That's exactly right. And, you know, when you think, as you said, the altruism perspective, right? How many people will live if we play our cards right as a world, like in the 90th percentile outcome, how many people will live in the future? The answer is trillions, probably, maybe hundreds of trillions, right? It's thousands of times more than the number of people who have ever lived. And so that's a huge factor, right? Anything that we do that actually has impact on the whole future of the world is massively important.
Yeah. It's kind of a ridiculous way to think at some level, right? Yeah. It just gets so big, then like, you're just some guy with a lot of money at some level, right? Talking about like trillions of people and the whole future of humanity. Like it gets weird, right?
It does get really weird. You should really stress test these and think like, okay, do I really believe this? Like, do I really actually think that there's compelling evidence that like, you know, these numbers that I'm looking at are as big as I'm claiming they are? Or am I kind of bullshitting myself on this? Like, you know, you should absolutely have some humility around that, but it's not totally implausible. And there are examples of people who we've heard of who are very famous and people who no one has ever heard of, who have had massive, massive impact on the world, who have had that massive multiplier. And so it's not totally implausible. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that like, while we should absolutely have, you know, a healthy dose of humility towards extreme outcomes, you know, we should also acknowledge that they can be real. And that often the highest expected value things are, in fact, pushing directly towards them.
Well, and in fact, you did hit the extreme right tail of the distribution in work, right? You did just get implausibly rich in a ridiculously short period of time. So at least on that one, it worked.
That's right. And I think that certainly has been a big update towards me in the direction of like, this stuff is plausible.
Uh-huh. So the fact that you got so rich so fast in crypto, does it push your altruism toward like, well, shit, if I could make $20 billion in 3 years, everybody on Earth could in fact die from a pandemic or from some out of control AI. And I should spend some of the money to try and reduce the probabilities of that. I mean, is it like that?
Yeah, it absolutely does. I think it absolutely does make me think, you know what, like these, you know, really extreme outcomes are probably plausible, and they're probably plausible enough that I should be taking them really seriously, you know, and that has pretty profound implications, I think, for what we should be doing.
We'll get to those profound implications and to exactly where Sam is giving his money away in just a minute. You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life. What are you doing now to help you get there? There are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP. That dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events. So it's safe to say it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend. Okay, 10 seconds. How many things can you name that are always growing? The universe, easy one. My kids, so far. To-do lists. For this month, my sugar snap peas. I know that's not always. I know I'm out of time, but I'm going to give you one more. Businesses on Shopify. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. There are key moments in every endeavor. I ask pretty much everybody I interview on this show about their key moments, their breakthroughs, their failures, their turnarounds, and Shopify can be there for you at all of your key moments. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/problem. Go to shopify.com/problem now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/problem.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
That's the end of the ads. Now we're going back to the show. Sam told me he's given away about $200 million so far, which obviously is a lot, but it is also somewhere around 1% of what he plans to give away eventually. His giving has been broad, but anti-poverty, animal welfare, healthcare, but he has started to focus on a few areas. One of the biggest is pandemic preparedness. That is a category that fits right into that expected value framework. You know, a low probability but super deadly pandemic is worth spending a lot to prevent. Another place where he's been giving is politics. Sam was one of the biggest donors to President Biden's 2020 campaign. More recently, he donated over $10 million to support a candidate in a Democratic primary for a congressional seat in Oregon, largely because that candidate wanted to focus on pandemic preparedness. The primary was held just last week, and Sam's candidate lost by a lot.
I think that there are a lot of takeaways from it. And, I think that, like, you know, if I were to do it again, I would do it a bit differently than last time. Fundamentally, I think it was a well-fought race. I think that, like, you know, he had a real shot. Going back to the discussion of expected values, right? Like, if you're donating political races such that you think your candidates are 99% to win, you're almost certainly doing something wrong.
Right, because that person doesn't need your money.
Exactly. You should be donating such that you think that you have a pretty substantial chance of losing. And, you know, I sort of stand by that.
Do you expect you'll give a lot of money in the 2024 election cycle?
I would guess so. I don't know for sure. It's going to depend on who's running, but, you know, I would guess so.
Well, let's say Donald Trump runs for president. Would that cause you to probably give a lot of money to the person who is running against him?
That's a pretty decent guess. And you know, I think that I'm going to be looking a lot less at like political party from that perspective and a lot more about, you know, same governance. Like that is, you know, at its core, the thing that I think I care the most
same.
About.
You said, just to be clear, same
yeah,
governance.
Same governance. I think the United States has both a big opportunity and a big responsibility to the world to shepherd the West in a powerful but responsible manner, and that everything that we do there has massive, massive ripple effects on what the future looks like.
You've talked before about being surprised at how little money is in politics. It is quite small, the amount of money that is donated relative to how much money the government spends, right? Does that lead you to want to donate a lot? I mean, does it follow from that, that like you'll probably donate a lot of money?
It follows that I might. In the end, that's basically what I think. I think that like there are in some ways, so there's, you know, in some ways surprisingly little money in politics. And given sort of the scope of its impact, now that doesn't necessarily mean there are good things to do donating in politics, right? Like it might be that, sure, but like, how are you actually going to do anything useful? You know, maybe that's how it turns out, but maybe not, you know?
You mean it's not necessarily the case that more money can have a meaningful effect on the outcome?
That's right. It's not necessarily the case, but it certainly gestures a little bit in that direction.
I mean, I imagine you have some probability distribution in your mind of how much money you might give in the next election cycle. Like, give me some number.
I would guess north of 100 million. And, you know, as for how much north of that, I don't know. You know, it really does depend on what happens. Like, it's really dependent on exactly who's running where for what. Like these are super contingent things. But yeah, I think that gives maybe some sense of what the sort of like scale might be here.
More than 100 million sort of spread across many races, organizations, but toward the 2024 election. So if that's a floor, what's the ceiling? Like a billion? Might you give a billion?
Yeah, I think that's a decent like thing to look at as a sort of like, I would hate to say like hard ceiling, because who knows what's going to happen between now and then, but as like at least sort of a soft ceiling, I would say, yeah.
Okay. So the ballpark is like 100 million-ish to a billion-ish.
With, again, a lot of caveats on this. And, you know, there's a world in which it ends up being close to zero. If there, you know, things just work out such that there isn't much I'm excited about.
Like, that seems like a very low probability to me, based on what I know about you and the world.
Yeah, I think it's very low that it's actually going to end up being zero. That does seem pretty unlikely.
Yeah. A billion seems way more likely than zero to me.
I think it's probably right.
So I think the most anybody gave last time, if I have the right numbers, is 215 million. That's for the 2020 cycle, the last presidential cycle. It seems like you'll probably give more than that, based only on what you've told me.
I think it is eminently possible that okay. I think that would not surprise me.
I've heard you say that, you know, at some points over the next few years, you hope to find opportunities where you can give away like $1 billion really quickly. What are some of the places you think that might happen? I mean, the election, the 2024 election is clearly one. What are a few others?
I think pandemic prevention is potentially one of them. I think you look at like, how much would it cost to, you know, really definitely prevent the next pandemic, or you can never definitely prevent it, but to have, you know, a really good shot at it. I think you're probably talking tens of billions of dollars.
Which it's crazy that that governments aren't spending that money, right?
That's right. That really should be government spending it. And part of this might be working with governments on it.
Because it's not that much, like, if they could reduce the risk of a pandemic by half, say, for $30 billion a year, like, do you actually think that? Is that true? or 50 billion?
I think something like that's probably true. I think something that's like not too far off from that order of magnitude. And that probably, you know, by the time you're talking about, you know, many tens of billions of dollars, you know, that's something that you're probably going to need to have government stepping in on. But, I would be happy to throw in a fair bit to help facilitate that.
So I should have asked this earlier, but to what extent are your political donations a pandemic prevention strategy?
So I think most of them have been so far. And you know, going forward, like there may come other policy, you know, things like AI policy that you know, end up being really important. And so it's not to say that like pandemics are the only thing that are ever going to matter to me policy-wise, but that has been the big one so far.
And is the idea there like tens of billions of dollars a year to significantly reduce the risk of another pandemic is not that much for the government, but it's more than you have, right? So you need a lever. You can't actually spend all of your money and meaningfully reduce the chances of another pandemic. And so if you can use political donations to elect candidates who want to spend money to prevent a pandemic, that works.
That's right.
So you're giving lots of money to political candidates. You're also doing a lot of work to shape regulation of crypto in the US. Tell me about the overlap between those two things.
So most of the giving has not been done with crypto in mind. And I have been doing a ton of policy engagement on that, but that's mostly going to DC and talking with policymakers.
I mean, here's the narrow version of the question is part of what you want from your political donations some particular outcome in crypto regulation?
That is not a big part of it.
I wanted to talk more about crypto with Sam, but our time was running short. I do promise to talk more about crypto on the show before too long. And Sam did have time for a quick lightning round. We'll have that lightning round in a minute. You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life. What are you doing now to help you get there? There are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP. That dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events. So it's safe to say it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Okay, let's get back to the show. We're going to close with the lightning round. Let's just do a lightning round. A few quick questions, and you can answer them fast. What's the least rational thing you do?
Least rational thing. I spend way too much time like aimlessly browsing my Facebook feed.
Is it true you still sleep on a beanbag chair? And if so, why?
I did last night. I do many nights. I don't know. It's what I'm used to is honestly just part of the answer there. It's like, it's what feels natural for me.
If everything goes well, what problem will you be trying to solve in 5 years?
I would say the details of what to prioritize for pandemic prevention funding with, you know, institutes that have been set up and are, you know, unloading a ton of capital into it and, you know, really great teams who are devoting themselves to building it out.
So the dream is you'll be like deep in the weeds figuring out how to prevent a pandemic. I've seen in other interviews you doing lots of different things during the interview. I couldn't actually tell if you were doing other things during this interview, but were you? And if so, what were you doing?
I was playing game of Storybook Brawl.
Say the name of the game again?
Storybook Brawl.
How did you say it?
I took second place out of 8. Could have been worse. And I apologize. I do have to hop off.
Okay. Last one. What's one piece of advice you'd give to somebody trying to solve a hard problem?
One piece of advice I would say, I just keep going. Just keep going step by step, you know, trying to solve it bit by bit. And, you know, eventually, hopefully you'll get there.
Sam Bankman-Fried is the founder and CEO of FTX. Today's show was produced by Edith Ruscello, edited by Robert Smith, and engineered by Amanda K. Wong. You can reach us at problem@pushkin.fm, or you can find me on Twitter at Jacob Goldstein. I'm Jacob Goldstein, and I'll be back next week with another episode of What's Your Problem? How do you create present and future value? As a leading provider of specialized finance, operations, and technology advisory services for Fortune 500 companies, emerging growth market leaders, and private equity sponsors, cross-country consulting solves today's most pressing challenges and creates present and future enterprise value. With tailored integrated solutions for accounting, risk, technology-enabled transformation, and transaction solutions, cross-country works as a strategic partner and collaborative part of your team. The future-ready business, insight and within reach. Go to crosscountry-consulting.com to learn more.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.